My name is Blair Glennon. I work with the Windows Insider program. Today we're going to talk a little bit about co-creation and specifically how you can co-create with your community. We're going to get into the details as we go through, but before we start, I wanted to tell you about a gentleman we met in Toronto. We watched a blind man put his life in the hands of a stranger. This is Jason. He's a Windows Insider. He's also been blind since birth. We met Jason in Toronto at a Windows Insider dinner we were hosting. Most of the other insiders drove. We walked, took public transportation, but for now, it's a bit hard to drive when you can't see. Jason didn't have his mom or his friend or anyone drive him to the dinner. He didn't wait around a few hours afterwards and wait for somebody to drive him home. He called an Uber with modern technology. He uses Uber with Cortana, the narrator that we all love in Windows, right? And it allows him to get around. It allows him to live his life as if he were sighted. This is powerful because he's chosen technology to help him live his life. Most of us take for granted the simple things, being able to walk to a dinner, order dinner just by looking at a menu. We don't have to use technology to do these little things, but Jason does. But that makes Jason an expert. Jason is an expert at being blind. He's using technology in a way that you and I don't. Jason knows things that you don't know. Jason knows things that I don't know. So we need to listen to Jason, and that's what we do in the Windows Insider program. Through the course of the Windows Insiders program, we've had three realizations. Everyone has a superpower. It would be nice if slides built. Everyone has a superpower. Whether you're Jason, who uses technology to see, whether you're Tom, who uses technology to make money, whether it's you guys, who use technology to make people better at their jobs, every single person is using the tools of technology to improve their lives and other people's lives in an important way. Next realization we had was everyone knows a solution. We work in Redmond. We sit in these offices and we say, this is what Windows is, or we used to say that. Now we're asking, how should Windows be? Every single person on the planet has a story to tell in a way that they're using technology to build their lives. We don't know all this in Redmond, so we need people to tell us how they're using technology. Jason not only uses technology to get around, but he also gives us a hard time when we screw up. It's the important thing with the Windows Insider program. He submits lots of feedback. That's why he was at the dinner, quite frankly. He submitted a lot of feedback. And he's been in the Insider program since we started about 2.5 years ago. He's very vocal about helping himself, but in his spare time, he is an advocate for the blind in Canada, where he works for the National Advancement of the Blind. So he uses technology not only to improve his own life, he uses technology to build workarounds and help other people live a more full life. When he's submitting feedback not on his on behalf of himself only, he's submitting on behalf of his community. Just like you're submitting feedback, hopefully, if you're in the Windows Insider program. How many of you are in the Windows Insider program? Show of hands. Beautiful. I love to see that. So I don't have to sell you guys on that mentality. When you're submitting feedback to the Windows Insider program, you're submitting it on behalf of your businesses. You're submitting it on behalf of your end users. And then finally, the final realization that we came to is everyone wants to be part of a community. We had a dinner here last night where we spoke to our community. We have dinners where we travel around the world, and between Donna, myself, and the rest of the team, we travel a lot. We meet the people that are telling us what we need to do in Windows. Jason came to dinner because he was a Windows Insider, not because he was visually impaired. He came because he wanted to be in a like-minded group who love technology. We believe that's true of all insiders. They love technology. They want to talk to each other and they want to connect because it's just human motion. It's a human nature at that point. When you're in these communities, you have to figure out what's important to the communities. Why are they using your product? Is it because they're hearing things from their customers? Are they hearing things about their life that they want to talk about? They want to complain about end user support or something? Everyone needs a shoulder to cry on. The Windows Insider program are the millions who represent the billions. Around the globe, there are hundreds of millions of people in the insiders, or there are billions, hundreds of millions of Windows users. There's billions of users. We have about 2 billion users of Windows, 7 billion people on the planet. It's a pretty good conversion rate right there. But we can't meet all those billions. We can't meet all the millions of insiders. We interact with them on Twitter. They tweet at Donna a lot. They email us. We give out our personal emails when we come to these events so that when they have a problem or they want to give us a suggestion, we want to be able to listen. How many of you guys were at Bill Karagounis' session on Monday? We got one, two, three. Okay. There was a video there about a gentleman named Saddam. It's because of people like Jason that make this...
I was born in the refugee camp. There was a lot of violence and persecution. I fell ill with cataracts, whooping cough, and phthisis. You know, I was probably given a 95% chance of dying. That's where I lost my eyesight.
People are dwarfed by a sea of tents. In a clinic, a medic checks a child's eyes. Fade to black. Rowers glide down the Yarra. Trams pass Melbourne's Queen Victoria Market.
With the gracious help of the United Nations.
Hands hold a travel document for Australia.
I came to a better life, and we were lucky enough to be taken by Australia.
A burly man smiles.
My name's Saddam. I'm 24 years old, and I'm currently studying international business at RMIT University. The last time that I recall sight is probably at the age of 2.5.
Sunbeams shine through a gap in the clouds.
Now after that, it's all complete darkness.
Cut to black.
I had two choices at that stage where I could have just given in to the darkness or fought it. Mum's love and mum's encouragement pulled me through.
Bill James, industry trainer, RMIT.
Somebody asked him one day, what if there was a magic pill that would restore your sight? He said, I wouldn't take it. I'm comfortable with who I am.
There are so many companies striving for excellence to help someone who's blind. Windows 10 for me is definitely my eyes. In some ways, in the literal sense, it does help me to navigate my world. It has helped me to achieve a double diploma. I do have social media, you know, email, paying bills.
Saddam uses a white cane.
It is just invaluable. I can't put a price on how much it's helped me in my life. I use a screen reader, which basically turns the graphical interface for me to use in the keyboard, and I tend to use my Surface Book when it comes to note-taking. All the technology that I have has definitely given me a positive light to achieve all my goals.
His technology blows me away in the way he uses it, because he sits there and it talks to him at such high speed. And if we can help him get access to more technologies, that'll allow him to fulfill not only his potential, but potential of other people around him.
With the assistive technology and the power of Windows, it really helps a blind person break down barriers. One of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite authors is, "Never underestimate the power of your encouragement."
He stands at the uni tram stop.
There's always something better around the corner, and, you know, if you reach for the sky, you may reach the moon.
White text on a blue screen. Do great things. The best Windows ever. The Windows 10 logo features slanted rectangles. The word Microsoft appears beside four colored squares.
So it's a great video. It's a great story. And it starts with people like Jason in Toronto telling us we need to be... help people with a different kind of ability. So how do we do this? How can you do this? It all depends how many people you're talking to. If you're talking to lots and lots of people, you have systems to help you out. Things like email, Facebook, Twitter. If your customers aren't in the millions or lots and lots of people, you have many people. How do you do that? Meetings. You have things like these conferences. You have the dinners that we host. We have face-to-face interactions when people come and visit us in Redmond. But a few of them, you stay in touch. You have a deeper relationship. We start talking about these systems. We have a bunch of systems to make things happen in the Windows Insider program. We get feedback through advanced tools, user-initiated feedback, when you go in and tell us, hey, this thing is broken. We have mini surveys called SIFs, system-initiated user feedback, often prompted when you said, hey, you just used Cortana, what'd you think, from a scale to 1 to 5. We get tweets sent at Donna. All of these things generate exabytes of data for us to go through, and we have a data science team that spends a lot of time trying to find the signal and the noise. But more important than the signal in that noise is telling stories. It's important for us to tell stories like Jason. He used Cortana to call an Uber, and it crashed. You know, we get one piece of system-initiated user feedback that a crash happened. That doesn't resonate as much as this gentleman couldn't get home at the end of the night because Cortana crashed. It's the human element in our team that we use to get things done when we know that the changes that we're making are impacting people in their day-to-day lives. So as you go from lots and lots of feedback to the many, you need to find these stories and tell the personal information or tell the personal story of the people that you meet. In Atlanta, we met a gentleman named Eddie. At the time, he described how he used the Windows Insider program in his personal life, and he was saying that he wanted to use the Insider program in his business. He said he wanted to take it to his bank. He wanted to have a group of devices running a slow build of our software. And we've been in contact, exchanging a lot of emails, working with his team to be one of the early adopters for what Bill announced the other day as WIP for Business. If you want to join Eddie and the other people that are part of the WIP for Business community, I would ask that you go to aka.ms/WIP4ITPros, but enough of that shameless plug. Not all the people you meet will have a story. You might have had a rough day, you might not have had enough coffee, you might be running late to meetings, but for the people that you meet and their story resonates, you need to carry that with you. I have a photo of that dinner in Toronto where we met Jason. We used telemetry to find those top insiders in Toronto. Donna, sitting up here, our illustrious leader, wrote them a personal email. At the dinner, we went around the table. We had an astrophysicist, a 13-year-old, he brought his mom, an anthropologist. But every single person at this table has a superpower, and they told us what they wanted. It's not millions of people in this photo. It's about 20 people sitting around a table having a conversation. It's the food that we shared, it's the memories that we share that stick with us. And you can bet when we go back to Toronto, we'll reach out to them. And you can bet that when they have a problem, they're not emailing info@microsoft.com, they're emailing me, because we met them. And that's the way we think about how we interact with our community. This next picture here are insiders as well. They're insiders, but they're entrepreneurs in Lagos. They're doing the Ninja Cat because Donna loves making people do the Ninja Cat. That's right. And they want to. All of these entrepreneurs want to change the place that they live in. They're Windows Insiders too. The gentleman in the pink shirt there is Bamba Shofala. He is the director of software engineering for Windows. And you can bet that when one of these folks have a problem, they email Bamba, it's going to get fixed. Like, that's just how it works. Each one of these insiders has a solution to a problem, and we just need to be able to listen to it and help them out with the how do we create the thing. This next group of individuals participated in our Winsiders for Good hackathon. Has anyone heard of our Winsiders for Good initiative? Ian has. Thanks, Ian. the Create-a-thons, or cats, Donna's obsessed with cats, so everything has that theme. It started its life as one of our internal hackathons at Microsoft. Every summer, we have, during 1 week, we gather together, spend some time working on problems, and we hack it together. And the hack doesn't have to be a technological solution. It can be something non-traditional, which the Create-a-thons were. They bring together people, usually around 40, in cities around the world. So far, we've had Create-a-thons in London, New York, Seattle, Cologne, Berlin, and about 20 other cities around the world. But the insiders here, the next generation that we see on the screen, they bring their enthusiasm. They bring the energy that we can't carry to every single event. That's why we've created a Create-a-thon in a box, so that we don't have to be at every one of these. But more importantly, they bring their expertise. They're all Windows Insiders. there's this idea that Windows Insiders look a certain way. Old dudes. It's not Windows. That's not old dudes there. These are people that aren't satisfied with the status quo, and they want to use technology in a different way, in this case, to fight homelessness, to make the world a better place. So what I'm here to tell you today is that co-creation is no longer optional. We showed you some pictures of some of our insiders, and hopefully you all use Windows, and so you had your experience shaped by the folks that we just showed. All of you have customers as well. We have customers as Microsoft, and maybe yours aren't a billion people around the world using an operating system. Maybe it's just in Australia for now. There's always next year. Maybe it's just the Gold Coast, if you're lucky enough to live here. Really enjoying the beautiful weather. And it's possible you're working with people you don't get to see on a day-to-day basis. I don't know who your end users are. I don't know who your customers are. One thing I know is that co-creation is not optional anymore. First, with co-creation, you can make a better product. Second, you can sell a whole lot more of what makes your users happy. And that's the end goal, right? For Jason, co-creation isn't optional. Think about the folks that you've seen at this conference. Think about the folks that you've seen around the world, in Toronto, in Lagos, in Seattle. Each is different. Each of those people are trying to tell us a different part of their story. The next thing I want to show you is some stats. I'm a data guy. And I want to illustrate that, not to brag, but to say that, you know, these large numbers are yearly revenue. But it's not the important thing. The number of users isn't the important thing. These two numbers dwarf that number. That while there are 1.5 billion people, 285 million, hopefully that's not me running over time. The 285 million, how do we make it better for them? And these huge unwieldy numbers, we can't just look at revenue, we can't just look at users, we have to look at the stories behind the numbers. So the owner for our problem was Jason. For Jason, tech isn't an option. He uses his tech to get home. Trusting his tech means he can leave home by himself. His tech, not our tech, not Microsoft's tech, it's really the community's tech. So Jason depends on us, gives us a lot of feedback, and depends on us to fix it. We move past those statistics, and we think about what is success. In the old days, it was that revenue number of sales. People that rely just on sales, they're not going to cut it in the modern economy. Then we advanced a little. We said, well, how many active users do we have? And it could be monthly active users, daily active users, the number of people using our service on December 5th, 2016. These are all statistics that you can focus on, but it's not the real measure of success. What we believe in the Windows Insider program is we got to move past these two to start measuring your community success. Without that, you're not going to be successful because somebody will come around the corner and disrupt you. You'll hear about this in Donna's lock note. Disruption is everywhere, and the best defense against being disrupted is protecting your community's success. We met somebody in...
Thank you for coming down here, Seth.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your job first?
I'm a team lead for Texas Health Resources over the Device Engineering Group, and so effectively we're... over all the endpoints for Texas Health Resources, which is close to 30,000, and I control everything with SECM, GPO, SCEP. We're working on rolling out BitLocker. I mean, just about everything. So,
tell us about your interaction with the Windows Insider program.
Windows Insider is a great program. I remember with Windows 7 that I was beta testing that previously, and then once I heard about the Windows Insider for Windows 10, I immediately signed up and started using that back in May of last year, and the first thing I did was take one of my work computers and sign up and try it out and just see how it goes, to see how it handled it. And on my home PCs, I signed up there as well, and just kind of got into it and started using it from there.
And how did it handle it?
It very well. Actually, we were pleasantly surprised. My boss was asking me about how the machine was, you know, responding. Is it working at all? Is it getting broken? What's going on? I was like, it's actually running really well. And actually, from that day on, I just was running Windows 10. I didn't bother ever going back to 7. I upgraded every machine I had to 10. I have a few test machines that I still have to use on Windows 7, but pretty much convinced my entire department, hey, you guys have to check this out, and they all loved it. And even other teams are starting to use it, and they really love Windows 10, and of course more of my team's on the Insider program, but everybody else is starting to use Windows 10.
So from an IT professional point of view, how is the Windows Insider program helping you?
It helps me because especially when I started before Windows 10 came out, I was able to start testing our GPOs, start testing packages, everything, just to see how will this respond so I can be ahead of the game and using Windows to make sure that I can be proactively researching problems, fixing things, so that way it's not a matter of, hey, we need to roll out Windows 10, and now I have to figure all this out. So it helps a lot, makes it a lot easier, a lot less stress, and I can also see things that are coming ahead of time with the new builds, and I can see if there's any issues. It's been such a smooth transition with Windows 10 and all the builds that we've really not had any problems at all. Each future build gets better, and I really haven't run across any problems that have come out.
How about from a career point of view? Does having yourself being a Windows Insider, does that help your career?
I think it does because it helps me learn and grow, and it's a matter of, in IT, everything always changes. So if I sit there and sit behind the curve and I'm not in the Insider program, then I can't continue to grow and be ahead of the game and keep moving forward. I'd be falling behind. So we're starting to, instead of doing less with our job, we're actually taking on more due to Windows 10. And it's nice to see the Insider program, be able to see any changes upcoming with those and be able to utilize it and take advantage of it ahead of time.
From you personally, why have you chosen to be an Insider?
Again, I just kind of want to stay ahead of the curve and make sure I can see all the new features that are coming out ahead of time.
So that last slide probably didn't resonate as much with you because you're all part of the Insider program, but those were two Insiders. Neither one of them worked for Microsoft. The interviewer, David Smith, we met in Toronto, or Canada, I can't remember which event in Canada we met him. But Seth Pennington, the gentleman on the left, we met in Atlanta. And it's feedback from these Insiders that really brought us to what Bill announced the other day with WIP for Business. So at this point, we were saying that you need to consider your success metric. This is true for you too. Co-creation is an optional. Your success metric should be how successful is your community, your end users, the people you support, what can you help them achieve, and when you let them down, how does that impact them? When Jason can't get home at the end of the night, what story is that for you? And then once, if that does happen, how can you make it right again? So everyone's familiar with the software development lifecycle, right? Waterfall model, sure, yeah, nods, okay. We think that it's changed. At the center of the new software development lifecycle is community. It starts with the analysis. We think about Jason. We spend a lot of time analyzing his data and his feedback and saying, what is he trying to do? How many of these Hey Cortana calls actually gave him the thing he wanted? How many times did he have to retry? The next step of it, we envision what the solution could be. We often give him two options, which we do in the Insider program, and say, which one is going to work? It's kind of the A-B test mentality that we have. And now we go make the thing. When we do that, we have to influence the people to make it happen. We have PM resources and dev resources that have to be convinced that, say, 20% of Insiders say this, or we can say, well, Jason couldn't get home. Which one's more powerful in making the thing happen? When we actually create the solution, we create a minimal viable product. We flight it. It can be tested by Jason. It can be tested by others. We're doing this with the WIP for Biz program. We're asking you guys, what do you want to see? And we're going to flight a minimum viable product. And then we experiment. We run through. We go through beta tests. Say, this is where most of the Windows Insiders usually are of pre-release software, tell us what you think. But at this point, because you know your community, they've been on the journey with you much further, much earlier on. When you started with Jason in the analysis phase and ran through this entire process, you're not bringing him in so late in the game. And then when you ship, if your community has been involved every step along the way, you're more likely to have them adopt. You're more likely to have be your salespeople, your best advocates out there, because you can't talk to everyone. The people that have that sense of co-creation with you, co-ownership, they're going to be your best advocates when you're trying to have a conversation about why should you use your product. So you can do this yourself. It's not just limited to the Insider program. We do it at a very large scale, and you saw in Bill's presentation yesterday how we do it. There's four steps that you can follow. First, identify your customers. You guys here, all our customers. You got your IT pros. Most of you are in the Insider program. So step one, check. Figure out what is their currency? What makes them tick? Is it looking like a hero like Seth, being able to say that he knows what's coming next? Once you understand their currency, amplify their needs. And we in the Insider program have a big amplification master in Donna. She will amplify your needs every step along the way. But then you have to connect to the community. Make sure that you are listening every step along the way. So in identifying your customers, you have to go to where they are. For the Windows Insiders, we go to conferences like this. We meet people face-to-face. For you, it might not mean having a dinner. It might just be sitting down with your users and saying, hey, what's going on? Businesses like us have to be talking to our community constantly. So where are your customers? Who are they? Who are you trying to attract this year? I mean, if it's desktop support, what is it that your end users actually need? Don't make them come to you. Go to them and ask them. Once you're there, understand what makes them tick. Understand their currency. Sometimes it's actually hard currency. There's not a lot we can do with that here in the Insider program. Our budgets are limited. But they're using your product for a reason. In our case, we're talking about Windows. Jason's not trying to improve Windows to help out Satya. He's trying to improve Windows so he can get through his day, so he can help other people that have his same problem. His currency is interacting with technology and to make it so he's interacting with the world as if he wasn't blind. He's using Windows as a tool to do that. Every customer currency is different, but it's experiences, it's career growth, it's helping people. All of these things are important, including time. Once you've understood what your customers want, you need to amplify their needs. When it comes to amplifying for the Windows Insiders, we are the millions who represent the billions. We represent those millions in our engineering reviews and in the ship rooms to make sure that their opinions, facts are being heard. And it shouldn't all just be reactive. It should be proactive. When you understand what somebody is saying, you don't have to predict what they are trying to tell you. And we also owe it to our community to pitch new ideas, like Whip for Business, which we're going to have a little exercise on in a minute here. You have to amplify your needs in the best way that you know how. And then finally, connect people together in the community. Last step is to connect customers with each other. We're doing that here. We're doing that in all the dinners that we have around the world, but maybe it's not a dinner for your community. Interact with them as humans. It's not end users, it's humans. Plus, humans are naturally social and they want to connect. At least that's what we've been told. And we do this in a number of different ways, interest-based forums, communities, all of these things are what drive us to make things happen. So at this point, we had a dinner last night and we ran around and said, what should Whip for Business be? We wrote out suggestions, we wrote out problems. This is what's actually going to be shaping our product. We're shaping this on the fly. It's in the news now, so we better get it right. So I want to ask you guys, since you took the time to come at 8:15 in the morning and instead of going to the beach, what can we do to make Whip for Business better for you? The question we asked last night is, what problems do you have that the Insider program can solve? What suggestions do you have? Not looking for feedback on Windows right here. We have a great feedback hub tool where you can submit them. But I have another OneNote open here that I can scribble if anyone has any problems that they want the Insider program for Business to solve or any suggestions. Any hands just off the top of your head? Yes, sir.
We have ongoing
Yeah.
We have an authenticating proxy environment, which is often quite a blocker to web-based communications. Some of the products like OMS, Windows Upgrade Analytics, those sort of products and programs are embracing and adopting and finding solutions for those products, so that organisations like mine who are, you know, have that constraint. That telemetry, the data can still egress if that's what we choose to do,
right.
Rather than saying, I'm sorry, we're only going to be able to send that when you're working from home and you're on a mobile broadband connection. So I'd love to be able to participate, and sometimes the tooling or the scenarios for the tooling doesn't facilitate our corporate ecosystem and the perimeter that we controls that we have in place.
Okay. Have I captured this correctly?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you. Take this back to the team. Any other problems, suggestions we can have?
It would be great to have something that can help demonstrate the value of the program itself outside. No worries.
I think it would be great to have something that would help to demonstrate the effectiveness and the value of the program outside of the immediate IT team. So IT is probably likely to be on the program and drinking the Kool-Aid, for lack of a better term.
It's good Kool-Aid.
How can there be, to put it simplistically, report, a dashboard, something that is accessible that can help demonstrate that value to the executive outside of IT?
What would you want to see on that dashboard?
Even just simple things like the amount of feedback that people inside the organisation are providing back, the number of problems that people are running into, how those problems may have been addressed. So you can sort of track it from, right, we had a user who is on an insider build machine who's over in marketing. They submitted this problem. 3 months later, that problem was resolved. Here's the value of the program.
Got it. And then that's all in your org, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, well, you could have it scale. Like, here's the number of, here's how it's happening in other organizations, therefore it's valuable. Here's how it's happened to us. That's justified the investment in having this program.
Beautiful. I love it. Any other suggestions? Sir?
From an all-up perspective, I can envisage there'd be a single big bucket at the top, which would be the org. But there may be some coarse-grained departmental categorization of what organizations look like internally, maybe even definable by the organization itself. Because that way you might get a sense of where feedback is coming from, to your point, outside of IT. And, you know, you could even make it, you know, gamification. You know, you could try to do some kind of encouragement internal, you know, the finance guys versus the IT guys versus, you know,
we know who wins that.
To see, you know, who's going to provide, you know, more feedback. You know, play on it.
I love it. Anyone else?
I think to that point as well, there's potential for more, I'll call it mainstream IT systems to be able to be compared against the sort of information that some sort of data inside the organisation can give. So where are your incidents coming from versus how much insider feedback is being generated? So are the areas that are more involved early on providing more feedback, then 3 months down the track copying more or less problems with applications running into the OS, all that sort of stuff?
Got it. Leads to better deployment. Folks, anyone else? We're taking ideas. We're baking the cake right now, so this is your opportunity to help us shape the feedback or help shape the future of the Insider program. No? All right, well then, I'll be up here afterwards if you think on it. and want more suggestions later. Thank you. It was very helpful. So those were the suggestions and problems that we had last night. We have more that we can drop into our funnel. But all of this is learning, you know, learning from what you guys tell us here, learning from what you guys tell us in feedback. And what we're saying is this model should apply to you too. You should be learning, you should use the skills that you have, and then hopefully it has a lasting impact. When all three of these Venn diagrams overlap, that's where the magic happens. And hopefully we're providing a lasting impact with the WIP for Business program that you guys are helping us co-create right here. We're using the skills that Donna and her team can bring to it, and we're learning every step along the way. Now at this point, I want to invite my friend and partner in crime, Donna Sarkar, up to help with this, because she's an artist, she draws things. I don't. Donna?
Look, I got a microphone and everything this time before I had to yell. Okay, so those of you who do work with communities, right? And I know many of you are IT pros, so you're like, Donna, I don't have, you know, billions of customers who live all over the world who yell at me on Twitter. Usually my customers are people upstairs who yell at me just in person, right? How many of you have people, your customers are in the building just yelling at you directly, right? Oh, believe me, that's my customers too. Because when we bake Windows Insider builds and we push them out, that goes out to Microsoft too. And you think your bosses are harsh? The people who invented Windows, they have opinions. It turns out that engaging with community, it doesn't matter what that community is. It could be people in your company who you're helping provide services and products for so they can actually do their job. For us, it's a unique case because we're building the ship as we're sailing on it. It's very, very interesting to build Windows on Windows, right? Every day I get Canary build, and on that is how we build Windows. It's kind of meta and crazy. People who don't work in tech cannot wrap their head around it. They're like, that is so strange and odd. But it is really the only way you're going to build software in a modern way, is by using your software. But back to this, working with the community, it doesn't matter who that community is, whether they're a customer, you know, off in Zimbabwe, or whether they're a customer who sits next to you because they're using the thing you are building. Whether that thing is, hey, it's a deployment model for Windows, or whether it's some sort of an app that you're sharing with everyone that relates to your business, or it's a dashboard where you're showcasing the productivity of your business. These are products and services that you're offering your community. Maintaining that relationship is like every other relationship you've ever had. Every successful relationship you have ever had. Want to click the thing?
Well, I mean, before we move past this, there was a powerful example that I thought of that was, you know, it's not just here at Microsoft that we have this problem. Our other friend in Seattle, Amazon, they changed the landscape of book publishing. Before Amazon, and you're an author, so you know this better than most, that before 2008, the only way to get a book was to go to the store, and the people in New York said, this is what people are going to read.
That's right.
Now Amazon says, no, we have our customers, and we are going to give them what they want. Every meeting in Amazon has an empty chair. The chair is representing the customer. The customer, when a VP makes a decision to launch a thing at a time, the customer is sitting there, and everyone turns to the empty chair and says, well, is this making the most sense for the customer? And they go through the same process of A-B tests. They run more A-B tests in a day than a lot of companies run in a year. And so, you know, it's not just business as usual in the book industry. It's not business as usual in e-commerce. They're using this model, and we're trying to do the same thing in the Insider program.
So my Locknote will talk a lot about member networks and how you set one up yourself. Because I truly believe no matter what business you're in, you should be DIYing your own member network. Because the old model of building something in a pipeline way, right? You build a thing or you create a service, then you push it out to people and say, good luck with that. That's not successful. It doesn't work anymore. There's always some other startup saying, like, you know what? We're going to come disrupt you. And that's kind of bullshit, honestly, because we know our business really well. We've known it for a long time. And okay, startup, you've got a cool new model, but do you have the expertise to actually do it? But the thing we can learn is modern product and service development, whether that's a service internally or whether it's a service externally. What I love about Amazon's model and other member networks that we all belong to, like Uber, Airbnb, etc., is that they rely not on gatekeepers, right? The gatekeepers are not people in the company who decide, all right, this is not ready for mass consumption. It's the humans who actually consume it. It's those feedback loops back to the product that says, all right, yeah, this is going well, or it's not. You know when you're, if you're an Uber driver, you know if you're good or not, not because Uber told you, but because the customers told you, the other people. You know that if you're a Kindle author, so I'll tell you a story. I started writing in 2002, and back then, publishing houses were king. You wrote a novel, sent it to a publishing house, to an editor at a publishing house, and about 99.9% of the time, they said, nope, not good enough. We decide what is good enough and what's not. Honestly, it was a total racket, because they only made deals with like people they went to school with, or like people they had, you know, undercover deals with and whatnot. That's why bestsellers are often crap. used to be, right? Because you'd wonder, like, how the heck did this get published? It's because they've got like a 10-year contract with some guy, right? It's always something like that. So it was very hard for new authors to actually break into the industry. You'd see like, oh, this person is the editor of Time magazine, and mysteriously they have a fiction book for teens. You're like, what relationship is there? Nothing, other than they happen to like, you know, drink beers with the editor of HarperCollins. So it was a racket, and it didn't behoove either the authors or the audiences, because there were gatekeepers. The gatekeepers were these emotional creatures called humans. And they're like, hey, my whims and fancies determine what you will be reading next year. That's kind of insane, right? So Amazon said, you know what? Forget that. We're going to remove gatekeepers. And the publishing house said, no one is ever going to trust books coming from your self-published platform. Old school industries always make like these proclamations, right? This will never happen. And of course it happens like the next year. And then they're like, oh my gosh, how do we jump on this train? But I watched this happen where I did get traditionally published twice. And the amount of money I made from those books were tiny. They're minuscule. Publishing house takes 90% of anything an author makes. Do I have any other authors in here? Yeah, so if you charge $10 for a book, you're going to get one. Maybe. Publishing house takes 90 because they have to distribute amongst all of the kickbacks that they do to publish books. It turns out that it's a racket. So Amazon said, this is stupid. If you want to be an author, be an author. Here is a whole pipeline by which you can be an author. Go to Amazon CreateSpace, upload your manuscript, show that you actually wrote it, and get like a decent looking cover published. And the feedback loops from the community will decide where it shows up in the ranking. And guess what? You get 70%. That's a pretty good deal. So I have been traditionally published 4 times, self-published once. I will tell you, my self-published book has made easily 40 times, the amount of all of my traditionally published combined, just because the people have spoken. The distribution models are not owned by these publishing houses who are like, oh no, front of the house at Barnes & Noble, or like back of the house, right? Yes, a Hudson bookseller when you're late for the airplane and you need to grab a book, or not. It's determined by people like you. The humans have voted. So we're moving to this model where social is an incredibly, incredibly valuable skill. It is not something we can afford to ignore. And social doesn't mean, you know, like me taking to the Twitterverse every day. Social means understanding what your humans are saying, making sure there's a very, very clear feedback loop between you and the humans in real time. Not, yeah, I pushed this thing out to you, and then like 8 months later, you gave me feedback on it when I've already moved on, steps 5, 6, and 7. So every other relationship you've ever had, just keep that in mind. The thing that humans want to your customers are the same as every other human wants. They want to feel like they are valued, and they want to belong to a community. So the more you can foster that, the more they're going to be willing to be part of that community and have a relationship not just with you, but with everyone else in the community as well, to help make this product that you all obviously care about, product or service, whether it's a deployment or a dashboard, better for everybody. And hit the thing?
I hit the thing. Because you're offering something more than a product.
Yes. What you're doing is you're offering something more than a product. Windows Insiders are really interesting because there's about, I would say, 10% of them who say, I want nothing from this program other than beta builds. But if I don't engage with them, they're full of fury. Apparently, they want more than beta builds. If they just wanted beta builds, they would install the build, send me feedback and feedback hub, and never, I would never know, hear from them, ever. But they want that engagement. They constantly want that engagement. They want to feel like they're valued and recognized. So one of the things we want to do as part of the Windows Insider program is put insiders to work. Those of you who run IT departments, and whether it's just one of you or whether there's many of you, you know how hard it is to find good technical talent, right? Who are passionate about actually doing deployments of a specific product. Many Windows Insiders have deep expertise in this, and it's pretty hard to make these connections in the world today, right? Like, finding each other from Twitter is not the answer. So we want to actually create a way for insiders to actually find each other and remove this, that one layer of, you know, that 7 degrees of separation. Let's remove 1 degree of separation. We belong to this tribe of the Windows Insiders. We know that we are on fast ring, slow ring, release preview, whatever. We know that that other person has a clue about what this program is. So in terms of insider job matching, it seems like an absolute no-brainer for us. It's something we want to do this year. It starts with WIP for Business because you guys have a very obvious need for needing to hire people for your companies and organizations. But we want to offer more than product, and you should too. I'll dig deep on the lock note on ideas that you can use. So creating something together, there's something very powerful about creating together. How many of you have pulled an all-nighter in like the last year? Okay, no one, I guess just me. Look like you have. Okay, yeah.
I was going to say, was there an all-nighter last night too?
Okay, well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I tend to do this, especially when we're working on something new. But the people that you're kind of in the trenches with, that's powerful, right? You know, though, you think back to all the people you trust deeply, and it's probably because you've created something together that was hard. It was challenging, but it showed the true colors of the human. And when you're investing in creating something together, you're just bonded in this unique kind of way. That was one of the side benefits of the Insiders for Good work, because people are actually creating a thing from scratch in a community where they live. Because we don't live in New York and Berlin, but the people who gathered still keep in touch. They still are people who know each other because they gathered for 3 days and created something together to benefit their city. And that was a really, really powerful message. It wasn't, hey, let's use Windows. That wasn't the message. The message is, let's make Berlin better. Let's make the city better using this technology that we already know. The technology is just a tool. Like, forget about tech. It's, what is the problem we're trying to solve? Next.
Yep. You were worried about this 6 months ago.
I was worried about this 6 months ago.
Be vulnerable, though.
Yeah, so they're like, hey, we want you to be the closing keynote of Ignite Australia. And I said, so Scott Gu, who's an amazing speaker, is the opener. You want me to close this? Oh my gosh, like, no. And everyone's like, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be great. The insiders were amazingly supportive, actually. Because when you're vulnerable to your community and say, you know, I don't actually know what I'm doing, everyone's like, I don't either. So no one knows what they're doing. Right? Do we know what we're doing?
No.
No, we're co-creating in front of you. Like, you've seen this happen. We don't know what we're doing. But if we knew what we were doing, if we came up to you and said, we already know what WIP for Business should be, here's what it should be, A, B, and C, you'd be like, really? Because...
who do you think you are?
Yeah, exactly. We're not being vulnerable. That's not vulnerable. You wouldn't trust us. You wouldn't believe that we have done our proper research and we have your best interest in mind. Because we are not being vulnerable. So when you go out and you talk to your community of people, say, you know what? I'm going to try to do the best I can for you and us and this company and this organization, but I need your help because I don't actually know all of your needs. And here's what I think they are, but you tell me if I'm crazy or not. And you'll see that people resonate so well because as people have a hand in helping craft the solution, they're an advocate, right? I mean, you guys know that if someone's totally against your point of view, ask them to be your mentor. Immediately, they're going to help you, right, solve the problem, and suddenly advocate for you. No one wants to say, oh yeah, I mentored that kid and he failed, good. Right? No one says that. That's insane.
Yeah. The other side of being vulnerable is allowing your community to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let them participate. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let them create a safe space where they can tell you things. Because if you go in like all bravado, then they're going to feel the need to be bravado. It's just how humans and ego work. But when we say, you know what, we don't know what we're doing. Here's what we're trying to do with this program. I get emails like this a lot. I get a lot of emails like this that say, you know what, this program, this community gave me a reason to be, to wake up every day, because I knew that there's people who rely on me. And there are a lot of very, very, very lonely people in this world. Like, we know that, right? Humans are just inherently lonely people. And despite us being more connected now than we ever have been, it's just easier than ever to be lonely because there's just so many options. Before, it's like, you know, we were in routines. You wake up in the morning, you go here, you're going to go to church on this day, you're going to have, you know, Taco Tuesday. These are things that are going to happen. But now, this connected world, you have so many options that it's almost easier to do none of them and to just be lonely. But just be willing to listen. It's one of our biggest mottos in Insiders. It's listen, learn, co-create. And create a safe space for your community of people to tell you that. Even when it's your execs who are yelling at you, just say, like, I understand you're frustrated. Please tell me what you're trying to do, because they'll be like, we need this, that, and the next thing. You're like, what are you trying to do? We'd love to create a solution to help you do that thing. Okay. Introduce your community people to each other. If you do work at an organization, you'd be shocked at how many people do not know each other. Because everyone's just doing their own thing down their own tunnel. But introducing people and saying, you know, Bob in finance, I see you're really struggling with Excel spreadsheets. Have you met like Jill over here, who's a pivot table master? Talk about things that have nothing to do with your product or service, and talk more about how the community can be more tight-knit. All of you who belong to any sort of community, whether it's a church, organization, community center type thing, know that many times even you forget why you joined. But the community keeps you there, right? This is like the community of CrossFit. People are like, I hate CrossFit, but I love all the people. So it's community that keeps people in. And the more you build it, the tighter knit your community will be, and the stronger it'll be, and the more you're going to be able to have it be sticky. So keep people.
I think that the other important thing here is, going back to what we were saying earlier about connecting your community to each other, and we saw this with the Winsiders for Good, that, you know, we have Slack channels with all of these people that we met in the various cities around the world, and that conversation is still happening even though we are here in the Gold Coast, that those Slack channels are still live and still going on. So the introduction means that you are giving them the ability to keep the momentum going.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Blair's referring to is, we kicked off a...
She loves cats. Knows
every, no. This was around before I came along. If I ever tweet this, everyone knows what that means. I am not tweeting this now. We are not launching a build right at the second. Just saying. But images are powerful, right? They just are. Images and symbols, inside jokes, they're powerful because it symbolizes a tribe. These are things that the tribe arrives at together. It's not something that can be assigned. It's something that emerges as a result of the relationship that you have together. The Nigeria Fellowship, we decided to do a longitudinal usability study. We said, is it possible for the next generation of entrepreneurs in developing parts of the world to launch an idea into a viable business that's profitable using the Microsoft tech stack? And of course, the answer better be yes, right? But the question is, how easily? We know that it's very possible if you work at like a big company with resources and technical account managers to do this. But can like a kid off the street actually use our tech to launch their business? We decided to prove it. So we kicked off this fellowship. We put out a call for applications. We chose 25 very diverse projects: agrotech, healthcare, women's issues, literacy, what to do when people lose their job at an older stage in life. But these are not Nigeria problems. They were global problems. And people were coming up with solutions to solve it in their local community. So we gathered these 25 fellows together for a week in November. And these are strangers. And another motto emerged: arrive as strangers, leave as friends. They arrived on Monday morning strangers. everyone's apprehensively looking at each other, looking at their own device, like, you know, doing one of these, very busily tweeting about things. And we noticed that throughout the week, people were vulnerable. They were saying, I want to launch this business. I don't quite know how to do it. I want to launch a business. I'm not technical. Or I want to launch a business. I don't know anything about business. I want to launch a business. I know nothing about finances. I want to launch a business. I've had 3 failed businesses in the past. I want to launch a business. I'm a farmer in the rural north of Nigeria, and Boko Haram steals 1/3 of my income every month. How do I do this? You know, like, these people showed up. Very different stories than what we're used to. And we watched them form these relationships right there, because they all belong to Nigeria. They belong to that community. And the only thing they had there in common was that we'd brought them together in this room. So we had the week-long boot camp, and we thought, all right, let's see how this goes. They're on month 4. I'm flying from Gold Coast to Nigeria. I'll tell you, immigration doesn't love that. Yeah. Does not love. They think I'm just fleeing the U.S., honestly. So that's a fun conversation, but I'm going there now to see how they're doing. We're at midpoint. We're going to see how these businesses are launching. Who has customers? Who's actually making money from customers? Who has tech? Who doesn't have tech? Where are we at? Are we going to launch 25 viable businesses in July or what?
And there's another important thing about creating those jokes, whale of a joke.
Yes.
Is when you have that conversation over and over again, you learn stuff that isn't just specific to Nigeria. You find out things about occasionally connected scenarios that you guys have a problem with here in Australia, that the latency of networks is just absolutely abysmal. And so we hear this across different communities, and we help bring them together and say that the problem that you're experiencing in Nigeria is similar to the problem you're experiencing in the rural U.S., in rural Australia, that it gives power to those stories. And an airplane. And it all starts with a joke. You're going to tell the whale joke later,
I'm not telling the whale joke. But so the Nigeria fellows, they help each other now, because they realize the story of 25 Nigerian entrepreneurs making their country a better place is a far better story than 25 people starting and 6 people succeeding. It's just a less good story. And they want to see each other succeed, because they realize by helping each other succeed, the entire community is better and stronger. So that is the power of platform. And you absolutely have to think about how you want to ignite your platform and your humans to actually contribute to making whatever product or service you're building or evangelizing or pushing better.
Yep.
We made these a long time ago. You have to appreciate the help that people give you, because it is their time and it's a commitment that you've made, right? If you help me, I will actually incorporate this and provide a better experience for you. We try to over-index on this. This is why we do dinners. This is why we give away prizes. This is why we're putting together, you know, a job matching program. We don't technically have to do any of these. We can just treat this as a beta program and say, here's a build, give us feedback. Here's a build, give us feedback. We want more than that, because we know that people are taking time out of their lives to actually give us this feedback, to build a better product for the billions. They're willing to raise their hand and say, I want to be one of the millions who represent the billions. They're willing to do that. So we owe them something in return. So when people help you, appreciate them. Many times all humans want is appreciation. Oftentimes just a sincere and true thank you is all they want.
But you can do them a favor.
You can do them a favor also. So, you know that thing where you are standing in a room and you hear someone talking about you in a really, really positive way to someone else who really matters? It feels great. You didn't ask them to amplify you. They just did because they wanted to. We do this. If you're a developer who wrote an app and it's in the store, you tell us, because I will install it and I will use it because I'm a developer and that's what I do. And we will amplify the hell out of it. We kind of have a ginormous microphone. So we are Windows Insiders advocates, just in life. By nature of us belonging to this community, we are their advocates. We are invested in their success. We're not invested in, the feedback you give to us. We're invested in the community success. Because if they are not successful using our product, they are, first of all, not going to use our product again. But second, they're not going to tell anyone about it either. So it behooves us to invest in their success. But also, honestly, it's just a good human being thing to do. So think about how you can give back to your community success, how you can be their advocate as well. How can you say, like, I love the idea of, you know, gamifying between teams and saying, like, you know, Phil in accounting really, like, is quite the tech person, right? And he's really, like, getting into this dashboard giving feedback thing, right? Amplify it. Amplify it a lot. People love it. And it actually incents people to do more because it feels good to be valued. Back to the Maslow's triangle.
Some of your friends.
Oh, yeah. So this was my very first time meeting Windows Insiders. Was WPC conference last July. I'd been in job for, like, 4 weeks. And oh my goodness, Windows Insiders love to meet in person. According to many insiders, we don't like to meet in person. We just want to get builds and give feedback. Sure as hell, a lot of them show up to meet in person. And they want to, because humans like to have connectivity. Even the most introverted person, if they feel like they're going to know someone at the party, they're probably going to show up. So they may feel awkward, they may feel weird, but once they realize, like, this is pretty powerful to actually be able to gather your people together. It doesn't have to be in person again, right? You don't have to organize, like, things in bars and mixers. But there's something about a human-to-human contact between people who are giving you feedback and helping you co-create that's pretty powerful. But at least have some sort of an online way for them to talk to each other. So facilitate that interaction. That's a huge goal of ours right now. And we're going back and forth on, like, you know, six different ways to give our IT Pro Windows Insiders customers ways to talk to other IT Pro Windows Insiders customers. Because I guarantee between all the people in this room, you've got at least six problems you can use each other's help on. We may not be able to help you, but you can sure as hell help you because you understand the nature of the ecosystem here on this continent.
The other important thing about meeting people in person in addition to online is you find out some of the idiosyncrasies and the inside jokes are just as funny when you're meeting people in person.
That's
true. And you make that connection, and that connection deepens the richness of the community and allows you to work together better in the future.
It really does. You know that when you actually know someone in person, they can send you a text later and say, can you do this thing? And you're much more willing to because you've already seen that person. You know they're not obviously insane. So you're a lot more likely to do this. Then make long-term plans with them. This, to me, is really important because it shows that you're not going anywhere. This is not a fad. It's not a flash in the pan interaction. It's not a one and done. You're not parachuting in. You're investing. When you create a vision statement for your community, you're saying that I am investing for the long term in helping make you more successful. And you'd be shocked at how powerful that is. You'd be absolutely shocked. Many people love to hear that, yeah, we're making plans for 2017, 2018. Here's a roadmap. Here's the vision. We have a lot of visions, right? Windows Insiders, IT Pros, WIP for Business, our community of people, biggest community of people we want it to be, who are leading their organizations in digital transformation. That's what we want the community to be. And we have no problems making big vision statements because we have full plans to make that shit happen, right? So figure out what your vision is for your community, your organization, your personal one, and how it ties into your organizational's main vision. And say it over and over again. Write it on stuff, put it in your email signature, say it over and over again. Because then people will get it. They have to hear it like seven times to get it. But tell them.
And so the fun thing about inviting Donna on stage is she's a great speaker. The bad thing about inviting Donna on stage is she gives people homework.
Everyone gets homework.
So,
if you're going to the lock note, you're going to do the homework there too. So everyone has homework. Okay. The other thing is that my slides are always in code because I can't make slides. Build your community. Just figure out who are your key stakeholders, who are your main customers. What is their currency? You know, currency of the human, so interesting. Because sometimes you're like, oh, of course, everyone's currency is currency. You'd be shocked at how that's not actually true. How many of you had a job where you get paid plenty, but man, do you hate your life? Yes. Those of you who aren't raising your hand, lying. It's true. Like if someone said, move this rock from here to here and I'll pay you your salary, you would do that for like a day and say, nope, nope, nope. Yeah, you wouldn't. This human currency is not actually currency. It is in cases, right? On the Maslow's triangle, there are times that your currency literally is currency. But that is not the case for most humans. More currency is something. Fame and fortune, getting a bigger bonus, showing up well to friends and family. But ultimately, humans want to feel valued and they want to belong. So build your community. If you need help, we're here to help you. We study this for a living. I read books on this all day. I highly recommend reading Platform Revolution if you actually are serious about building out your own member network and your own community. I'm very, very academic about these things, very scientific, because I do believe that this is how the future of product and service development is going to be. And I want to have the Windows Insiders, especially the IT Pro ones, not just be people who push out products and services, but are leaders in the next generation of platform development. Just keep in mind, we do every day, we keep this in mind. Customers, people you sell stuff to. Community, people you help make successful. Once you do that, you never need to sell anything again. We are the community of millions who represent the billions. You're part of that community. However we can help you, please let us know. Thank you so much.
Do you want to make people do a ninja cut?
Okay, everyone has to ninja. Joe, do you mind taking a picture? Everyone has to stand. No, everyone has to stand. Everyone? Stand. Stand now. We're all going to ninja. Because New Zealand ninja'd for me, do you want them to ninja better? No. Okay. All right, ready?
Come on in, guys.
Okay,
come on
Zach
in.
Zach is not ninjaing. Why is Zach not ninjaing? Everyone huddle. Okay. All right.
Everyone in?
Ready? All right.
Everyone know how to ninja?
Does this mean you too?
Why is Gus not ninja?
So
all
right. Ninja, you guys know ninja, you kind of do a little...
Okay, so no. It's not a ninja pose. It's a process. All right. Okay, it's a process. Ready? All right. You got to get down real low so they don't see you coming.
Perfect.
Got to get your hands in the air. You go ninja. All right. Ready? Go.
One more. One, two, three. Right on. Great.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you,